work into the slightly strange face of Stanley. "Thank you, Stanley," he said, laying down his pen, "and I see you got nearly all of it in the cup this time. Nicely done." "What are you drawing, Mr. Lipwig?" said the boy, craning his neck. "It looks like the post office." "Well done." "It's going to be on a stamp, Stanley. Here, what do you think of the others?" He passed over the other sketches. "Cool. You're a good drawer, Mr. Lipwig. That looks just like Lord Vetinari." "That's the penny stamp," said Moist. "I copied the likeness off a penny. City coat of arms on the twopenny, Morpokia with her fork on the fivepenny, Tower of Art on the big $1 stamp. I was thinking of a tenpenny stamp, too."
"They look very nice, Mr. Lipwig," said Stanley. "All that detail, like little paintings. What's all those tiny lines called?"
"Cross-hatching. Makes them hard to forge. And when the letter with the stamp on it comes into the post office, you see, we take one of the old rubber stamps and stamp over the new stamps so that they can't be used again. And the..."
"Yes, 'cause they're like money, really," said Stanley cheerfully.
"Pardon?" said Moist, tea halfway to his lips.
"Like money. The stamps will be like money, because a penny stamp is a penny when you think about it. Are you all right, Mr. Lipwig? Only you've gone all funny, Mr. Lipwig."
What? Said Moist, who was staring at the wall with a strange, faraway grin.
"Are you all right, sir?"
"What? Oh, yes, indeed. Do we need a bigger stamp, do you think? $5, perhaps?"
"Ha! I should think you could send a big letter all the way to 4X for that, Mr. Lipwig," said Stanley cheerfully.
"Worth thinking ahead, then," said Moist. "I mean, since we're designing the stamps and everything." But now Stanley was admiring Mr. Robinson's box. It was an old friend to Moist. He never used Mr. Robinson as an alias except to get it stored by some halfway honest merchant or publican, so that it'd be somewhere safe even if he had to leave town quickly. It was for a con man and forger what a set of lockpicks is to a burglar. But with the contents of this box, you could open people's brains. It was a work of art in its own right, the way all the little compartments lifted up and fanned out when you opened it. There were pens and inks, of course, but also little pots of paints and tints, stains and solvents, and, kept carefully flat, 36 different types of paper, some of them quite hard to obtain. Paper was important. Get the weight and translucence wrong, and no matter of skill could save you. You could get away with bad penmanship much more easily than you could with bad paper. In fact, rough penmanship often worked better than a week of industrious midnights spent getting every little thing right, because there was something in people's heads that spotted some little detail that wasn't quite right, but at the same time would fill in details that had merely been suggested by a few careful strokes. Attitude, expectation, and presentation were everything. Just like me, he thought. The door was knocked on and opened in one movement.
"Yes," snapped Moist, not looking up. "I'm busy designing stamps here, you know." "There's a lady," panted Groat, "with golems."
"Ah, that'll be Miss Dearheart," said Moist, laying down his pen.
"Yes, sir. She said, 'Tell Mr. Sunshine I've brought him his postman, sir.' You're going to use golems as postman, sir?"
"Yes, why not?" said Moist, giving Groat a severe look. "You get on okay with Mr. Pump, don't you?"
"Well, he's all right, sir," the old man mumbled. "I mean, he keeps the place tidy. He's always very respectful. I speak as I find. But people can be a bit odd about golems, sir, what with them glowing eyes and all, and the way they never stops. The lads might not take to him, sir, that's all I'm saying."
Moist stared at him. Golems were thorough, reliable, and by gods they took orders. He'd get another chance to be smiled at by Miss Dearheart. Think about golems, 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 golems. He smiled and said, "Even if I can prove they're real postmen." 10 minutes later, the fist of the golem called Anghammerad smashed through a letterbox and several square inches of splintering wood.
"Mail delivered,"
it announced, and went still. The eyes dulled. Moist turned to the cluster of human postmen and gestured towards the impromptu postman's walk he'd set up in the big hall. Note the flattened roller skate gentleman, note the heap of ground glass where the beer bottle was, and Mr. Anghammerad did it all with a hood on his head, I might add.
"Yeah, but his eyes burned holes in it," Groat pointed out.
"None of us can help the way we're made," said Adora Bell, Dearheart primly.
"I've got to admit, it did my heart good to see him punch through that door," said Senior Postman Bates. "That'll teach 'em to put 'em low and sharp." "And no problem with dogs, I expect," said Jimmy Tropes. "He'd never get the arse bitten out of his trousers."
"So you all agree a golem is suitable to become a postman?" said Moist.
Suddenly all the faces twisted up as the postman shuffled into a chorus.
"Well, it's not us, you understand. People can be a bit funny about it. All that stuff about taking jobs away from real